Prepare yourselves, Bucs fans. Unleashed from the corporate shackles of the Tampa Tribune, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter is finally free to speak his mind. That's Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton himself. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented exclusively by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa on Fletcher, just west of 275, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Brandon's only luxury dealership. The best ever summer sale event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Turn up the volume, put up your feet. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on at JoeBucksFan.com.
Ira Kaufman is in the house. There's a game in 2 days. Joint practices have just wrapped up, Ira. And forgetting about what was going on in the field, okay, because at the end of the day, it's practice. What do you think teams really glean from these joint practices? Not just the stereotypical, hey, we got to see some new faces. What do they really get from this? You've seen plenty of them in your time.
I think it generates a little more juice, Steve, and I say that because you're not beating on the same guy. You're doing the same things, but you're getting a different reaction. Mm-hmm. You don't know these guys' tendencies. And speaking of the Jags, Steve, in particular, depending on how long Bortles will play, Saturday night, it'll be a better test for the Buck defense. The Eagles, to me, very ordinary team. And remember the game against the Bucks last year. They were horrible, absolutely horrible. The Jags seem to be an ascending organization, seem to be. Certainly they got a couple of guys that I think Buck fans will root for in terms of Gus Bradley, who has to win this year, Steve. He's 12-36. And you will see ancient Monty Kiffin on the sidelines. Last time I saw Monty Kiffin, gentlemen, was in Gruden's lair in Carrollwood when I walked in one day and somebody said, hey, there's a guy in the back that wants to see you. And I walk in, Monty Kiffin's in front of a computer. He's still breaking down tape. God bless him, in his 70s. So
this was Gruden's office?
The Gruden's office. He gave him a place to hang out. And now Gus Bradley has given him hung a shingle out. For Monty Kiffin.
Not to deviate too much, but who else was there? People, this is interesting.
Well, Mark Ortega is always there, and that was Gruden's administrative aide during his time here in Tampa. Paul Kelly was the other guy, but he's up in D.C. now. So Ortega's always there, and Gruden's in that dark room. No lights. The blinds are shut. You might bump into a table if you're not careful, and he's always watching film. The man is always breaking stuff down. I hope he's not breaking down December of 2008 when the Bucks couldn't win one of the four games, Steve, that they needed. But
this is why we hired you.
That's right.
No one has been in his lair.
I pop into Gruden uninvited, Steve. I knock on the door, and when he sees me, he gives me that half look like he did that time about the All-Star. I'm going to tell that All-Star story to your listeners one of these days when it's appropriate.
You mean our
it's
listeners?
My favorite Gruden story. And your listeners, that's right, our listeners. And the joint practices, it's a change of pace, Lee. It's a different look. And God knows, after 2 or 3 weeks in training camp, you need a different look.
Well, first off, it's a mental break. And as you stated earlier, these guys going up against their teammates, by now they know every stinking move these guys have. Now they're going to be up going against people for a couple of days. It's brand new to them. And who knows, it's just, I think it's smart. And that's another thing I had a problem with Lovie Smith, why he just, Shano, he got, Belichick does it. You can go on and on.
If it's good enough for Belichick, it's good enough for Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, and I almost want to say, I don't think it's a mental break. I think it's a mental revival, because they're sort of worn out of what they were doing.
Now you got Dante Fowler coming off the edge, or Miles Jack. It's different.
Yeah, of course. Now we've had 2 days of practices, and to me, more than anything else, it's an evaluation tool, a better evaluation tool, because the training camp is nice. Guys got to get in shape, whatever. But Cutter needs to best evaluate the roster. That's what I didn't understand from Lovie's perspective was, okay, you don't want to have a joint practice, but it's such a great tool to evaluate players. I mean, if I'm constantly evaluating the same guy against the same guy, that's not a good sample size. So it gives me more options.
It might be another example, guys. Now, we don't want to be too harsh about a guy who's not here anymore, Steve.
Why not?
But Lovie's stubbornness, what was a problem. Mm-hmm. That's an example, Steve. And another one, Lee, that just jumped out at us is, 2 o'clock in the afternoon practices. Mm-hmm. Nobody's doing that.
No.
Nobody's doing
that. Well, I'll just say this about Lovie, and I will shut up about Lovie. Second worst winning percentage of any coach in this sorry franchise's history.
So coming out of Philly, you know, we read your 10 observations. How do you translate those now into the next game? What's the next steps? After what you saw, what's the next step that you want to see
well,
from this team?
Steve, I'm going to be honest.
You're always
we're
honest.
We're not going to be hypocritical. You and I, we sat at One Buck Place a week ago, and you said, what do you want to see out of that game? And you agreed with me. The word crisp came to my mind in terms of penalties and execution, and I give them a D. I give them a D on that. Now, did the defense look good? Yes, the pass rush, the secondary, which go hand in hand. But, you know, I'm going to be the first to say it, gentlemen. Chase Daniels sucks. He's terrible. And if he makes the Eagles, Philly fans are going to be in an uproar. He looked terrible. Now, did the Bucks make him look bad? To a certain extent, Steve, but the guy's never been any good.
Well, so big picture, okay? We know it's a preseason game. Let's just get that out of the way. But so they come out.
I want to see less yellow, Steven. Less yellow on the ground.
But they come out flat. I don't know what other word to use, which is a recurring
Your
theme.
Your boy Kenny Bell set the tone.
Kenny Bell did what he do. But even after that, okay, defense couldn't stop him. Even the, you know, the short fields, yes, still couldn't get a field goal. I was talking to Mike Smith in the locker room after that game, and you know how mild-mannered Mike Smith is. And I asked him if he was proud of the D-line, and he explained why he is and evaluating them independently, but then he just got red in the face
Good for
again.
Him.
Got red in the face about, you got to get off that field with a field goal in that situation. We can't do that. But they were flat as an organization, as a team. The penalties were by top players, Donovan Smith, Lavonte David, Hey Jude on yes. that special teams cover. Man,
they sap energy, Lee.
They
Those
do.
Penalties sap energy. Sure
they do.
It was just a little distressing as a broad brush to start that way. I was like, wow. You know, and all this not playing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and practice and all that crisp talk we had, they were the opposite of crisp.
I didn't think it was as bad as the first game last year at Minnesota. I thought they got manhandled.
Yeah.
I didn't think they got manhandled.
That's correct. But then again, Minnesota was a playoff team last year. The Eagles, I think they'll be in a basement of their division. We've heard this for over a year now. Cutter has continued this talk that Lovie Smith talked about. Quick start, quick start, quick start. Well, here we go again.
I got a question for you, Kaufman. After that game, Dirk Cutter made a comment about running the football. I asked him a question about running the football, and he made a comment that said, well, preseason, we know how to run the ball, and you don't really run the ball in preseason, and guys need a lot of reps. Running backs need a lot of reps. So that means we shouldn't expect any solid running game in a preseason? Do you buy that?
It was a funny comment because Cutter, isn't in the habit of making excuses. We didn't see the running game. Now, you know, they fell behind early, but that shouldn't matter. Sims didn't play, Lee, to be fair, but the running game wasn't very good. I'm not going to panic about it. I expect a better performance Saturday night.
Agreed. Yeah, the offensive line did not look like it should have. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking for that running game. I mean, the average, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was like a yard and a half a carry.
Now, that's unacceptable.
Cutter, as frank as he is, he almost made it sound like, so it was acceptable. And hearing DeMar Dotson previously say that he didn't think the Bucs had O-line had two good practices in a row, I don't know. I want to see a running game. I want to see them, you know, crank off a couple of
They didn't handle Fletcher Cox very well. He's a quality. He's a quality player, Steve. He is a quality player.
Who was it? You were there, Steve. Who was it that asked Jameis about the fumble? And I never saw Jameis snap like he snapped there. He goes, well, Fletcher Cox gets paid due.
Yeah, actually, I didn't go into the Jameis press conference. I was in the locker room talking to guys. Jameis was a little delayed, and I couldn't wait anymore. Funny little story about Philly. For some reason, now, the air conditioning was not working in the press box.
Oh, boy.
Now, at game time, we're talking 100-degree heat index, 90 or 92 degrees. Now, that's not so bad for us here in Tampa, but you can imagine that was the talk of the town up there.
Windows open?
No windows. The air was just like mind-boggling. I thought I was dying, but thankfully it wasn't me. And in that little room that they were doing the news conferences with Jameis, man, it was so hot in there with the added TV light. So I just couldn't, even after Cutter, I was like, you know what? Jameis is late and I'm not doing it.
And you know, Lee, Izbitz goes up to Philly thinking he's going to get away from the Florida heat and he runs into a sauna out there. It's apropos in some ways.
How is that apropos?
You don't deserve a break.
Give me a hard time. So now on the field, Saturday night, couple of days, the defense. What do you want to see as a next progression for this defense, or what do you want to see, period, knowing that Jacksonville is going to throw the ball a lot more effectively and as a more polished passing attack, to say the least, than Philadelphia?
I want to see now, this is going to be Colin later in the week. We'll see. But the secondary, to me, has the biggest asterisk on it. Now, look, we're always going to look at that pass rush. Where's the double-digit sacker? But, Lee, you and I have talked about it all last season. How much cushion can you give these guys? They get a 9-yard completion anytime they want it. It was driving us crazy up in the press box. You and I would meet at halftime, and you'd look at me and say, what do you think? And I'd say, can they stop a little slant pass in a while? So, Steve, you make a great point. The strength of the Jaguars, and it's a heck of a strength, is Bortles and those two young receivers. Mm-hmm. That is a powerful passing game. He threw 35 touchdowns last year. There was only one guy in this whole league named, and his name was Brady, that threw more touchdowns than Blake Bortles. Nobody knows that. Now, he does throw picks, but so does Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to knock a young quarterback for that. If Bortles plays into the middle of the second quarter, my thoughts are going to be on that Bucs secondary. Grimes, Werner, who's now has a new lease on life, Conte, who's had a nice camp, Hargraves, of course. Can you hold on to an interception? I'm looking at the Bucs secondary because this passing attack is much, much more dangerous than anything the Eagles throw at you.
Sure, I think we discussed this before. Last year, we thought the offensive line was going to be terrible with the rookies and two guys up the street, and it became arguably their best unit.
That's right.
I think that the same can apply this year for the secondary. It was horrible last year. But with all these new additions, it's got a chance to be a strength. So how far along has that secondary come? This will be a nice test.
And we're here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, of course, brought to you by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Check out all the amazing summer specials at EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And I'll say this, Ira, what I'm looking for most is Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars, running the Aurelius Bend around. That play that just drove us all crazy here in Tampa. See if the Bucs can stop that. Because it would be so poetic, so ridiculous, if somehow they throw that stupid bend around reverse to Aurelius Bend and he just mows over, you know, Hargraves or something. I don't know.
Lee.
I might drop dead
there. Greg Olsen's got more lives than a cat.
He does, doesn't he?
You know, he didn't distinguish himself, guys. Let's be honest. He did okay, but he's still in the league, still calling plays.
Well, you know, everywhere he goes, he helps develop a quarterback. You know, he's not the reason Freeman
melted
down.
Didn't he work with Drew Brees in college, I believe?
Yes. I believe he worked with him in college.
Yes, he was
with Carr over in Oakland. Now he's got Bortles.
Did a great job with Derek Carr. He got Josh Freeman to 10-6, 25 TDs, 6 touchdown passes at 22 years old. That's the bar for Jameis. If we're being real here, on a second-year Bucs quarterback with garbage for weapons that Freeman had for the most part. Not garbage, but
Mike Williams.
Not the quality that's here right now.
Right.
And he's a survivor. I mean, the guy can call plays better than a lot of offensive coordinators. I'm not calling him a great offensive coordinator.
And he certainly did a good job last year.
But an average
– scored a lot of points.
Yeah, an average offensive coordinator like Olsen that can handle a quarterback is going to stick around the league for a long time.
They lost a lot of shootouts last year. Lee, if they can get that defense in the middle of the pack, which is not easy, you know, a winnable division, not one of the better divisions, Steve, although it's tough to judge from year to year. It's hard to tell because always a team emerges. And Indy's going to be better this year.
And he's going to be better. Houston was a playoff team.
But that injury, that Watt injury, is a crippler for Houston. And by the way, gentlemen, I'm going to be the first to say it on this show. Clowney looks like a bust. Clowney's got all the qualities of a Bucs.
Yeah, yeah. He's hurt again, isn't he?
Yeah, I've started to call him Daquan Clowney, just so you know.
That's not another guy looking for a job, Steve. You know, all these Bucs can't find a job.
Can't pin down on Jason Light.
Yeah, I always used to get a kick, Steve, and this is macabre humor, but, you know, Daquan Bowers had more people around him than he had tackles one year. The guy was always available, unlike Dotson, who gets the job done on the field. Daquan Bowers was absolutely horrible.
Media.
Media. But he always had a lot of media around him, always willing to talk.
Bowers?
Bowers.
He was good about that.
And I made a judgment, Stephen. You know, it wasn't fair to my readers at the Tribune, but I made a vow. I'm not going near Bowers till he starts making some plays. Everybody had Bowers quotes. I had nothing.
Which is sort of way Steve and I decided about Kenny Bell. We haven't spoken with Kenny Bell for weeks. Kenny Bell's awesome dude, a smart guy. You cannot help but like him, but gosh darn it, make
his
a play.
His bit says make a play.
Dirk Cutter, speaking on WDAE on Monday, said make a play about Mr. Bell, which was very interesting. And I would, if anybody wants to email me regarding a wager, I'd be happy to throw some money down that Kenny Bell has not going
to
make this
roster.
Although
Cutter, Steve, to be fair, went out of his way last week, and you were in Philly, to talk up Bell making some plays as a receiver after he had the horrendous.
He didn't make any plays. He ran routes against truck drivers.
He said he ran nice routes and got open.
Against truck drivers.
Against the second and third team.
And insurance claims adjusters. And history teachers.
He wanted to keep Bell's hopes going.
I don't blame him.
But to your point is the media frenzy surrounding a player that doesn't do anything. Daquan Bowers did a lot more than Kenny Bell has ever done in college and on this Bucs team.
He made a tackle once in a while with a few sacks here and there and whatnot.
It's not his fault that Greg Schiano decided to get rid of Michael Bennett and dub Bowers a 10-sack guy before he even, quote-unquote, double-digit sack guy before he even did anything.
Lee, you know what turned me off on Bowers? This was the mark, the demarcation, mark in the sand for me. And you guys remember this. Schiano declared him the starter.
Yep.
One during OTAs and everything. It was his job. I don't know if he was going to play the left side or he was going to play the right side. But he was going to start. And you know what happened? He came at the training camp and he went to the podium and he said, I'm not in shape. I'm out of shape. That was it for Bowers. I'm done with him.
And that was the same offseason where he had his gun hassle up at LaGuardia, right?
Unbelievable that could happen, Steve. Unbelievable when you're handed a starting job.
It's very believable. It happens in the NFL all the time.
Didn't want to play. Didn't love football.
I mean, we saw it with Anthony Collins. We saw it with a lot of guys.
Now, notice the difference. On SiriusXM Radio, you were on with Pat Kerwin when they were here recently at One Buck. Noah Spence told Pat Kerwin, Kerwin was asking about his work ethic, and Noah Spence said, I cannot look stupid on the field. I'd rather look stupid in the meeting room. And he talked about how he knew physically he could play in the NFL. Mentally, he wasn't sure. So he took the mental approach that every day he treats it like a full-time job, the mental aspect. He goes home. A lot of guys go to bed. He doesn't go to bed. He studies his playbook.
Guys, we have learned that we have to be careful about anointing an edge rusher in this town as the next Simeon Rice. We have to be careful.
Well,
experience tells us.
Unfair period. I agree with
you, but he has looked good. He has looked good.
We had that guy. We had Michael Bennett, and we said no thanks.
You know what? He looked pretty good for the Bengals again last season.
Seahawks.
He made some plays.
Seahawks, you mean?
No, I'm talking about Michael Johnson.
Michael Johnson
looked good for the Bengals.
Yeah, Johnson. Don't even mention his. It's your podcast, but don't mention his name.
But every time I saw him for the Bengals, he was making plays last year. He came here. I can't remember. He had a 2-sack game, I believe, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
When the Bucs had that big comeback and Glennon threw that pass to Vincent Jackson.
Yep.
That was Michael Johnson's contributions as a Buccaneer.
My favorite play that he made, if you want to say he made it, it was a preseason game. I can't remember who the Bucs were playing. Quarterback fumbled the ball. The ball rolled about 5 or 7 yards away to where Ghost Johnson was standing. 5 or 7 yards away from the quarterback.
And speaking of Michael Bennett, one quick thing, Steve. He's a very nice player. His versatility, I think, is a huge plus because he's one of the few guys that he is as effective from inside as he is in the end. I remembered watching the Super Bowl a couple of years ago at that game against New England. He was unblockable in the first half. They couldn't handle him, Michael Bennett. And this is Belichick's group. They couldn't handle him. But you know what, Steve? As the years keep going by, he says stupid things. He can't help himself. He wants to be a leader so bad, but he says crazy things. You wonder how it would have been if he would have stayed here in Tampa.
Ira, good organizations know how to handle guys like that and know how to win with guys like that. You and helped induct a guy into Canton who was like that, saying stupid things, not being nice, doing dumb things.
But he can play.
But he could play. And right now we've got Robert Ayers on this team, who everyone's excited about the edge that he brings.
Nasty.
And his versatility inside, outside. He's Michael Bennett. It drives me nuts. But last
question. But let him play. But he can play.
He can, and I'm nothing wrong with Ayers, but we had that guy. So yeah. It's a thorn in the side of the Bucks fans until they actually turn in a winning record.
He's going to fill DeKemper's notebook. That's not a bad thing, Steve.
What about Miko?
Hey, that's a whole other show.
Last question. last question for you, Jameis. Saturday night, what do you want to see from him?
I thought Winston was okay in the opener. Nice ball on the touchdown because, you know what? That DB thought he had an interception. And Winston put a lot of zip on that ball, Lee. He did not float it. When Winston gets in trouble, it's when he floats balls.
Mm-hmm.
Off the back foot, the old Vinny Testaverde doesn't step into it and mm-hmm. drive it. Look, he's not Brett Favre in terms of arm strength. He never will be, Steve. I thought he was okay. I bet you he thinks in a self-evaluation, because the way we know Winston, I think he's hard on himself. He thinks he could do better. I think he can do better. The Jags, not known for their defense, especially in the secondary. He's going up against his guy, Jalen Ramsey. That'll be interesting. I expect him to play a little longer and a little better, Steve.
All right. Ira Kaufman Podcast. It's been fun.
You've been listening to the Ira Kaufman Podcast on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.